Well, this morning is Christmas, isn't it? What a joy to celebrate the Lord's birth and coming to earth for us. Well, this season, you probably see a lot of nativity scenes all around, don't you? You probably see them in homes when you go out looking for lights. You may see them on church lawns. You may see them around town. And they're there to remind us of the true meaning of Christmas. We have this tradition that, we've kind of lost it, but it used to be every Thanksgiving we'd gather at my mom's house and we'd put up her huge nativity. And it would be our big thing to do with her and help her get it all out. And so it was always a cool thing to do. Well, this morning I want to zoom in and look at the nativity for a moment and help us to rediscover the first Christmas. Let me state the obvious. The nativity scene is the stable. I can assure you that the stable Jesus was born in was not a stable you would picture along a Tennessee country roadside. It was just like any other stable other day. It was crowded. There are animals in it that smelled. It was dark. It was damp. And more than likely, it was full of rodents. It was not the place for a baby to be born. I don't know, every time when I would read the story, I'd often wonder and say, God, I don't get it. If you can take a star and put it in the sky to lead three wise men, or the wise men, magi, we don't know if it's three, but lead them all the way to find the Christ child. Surely you could have done something to lead Mary and Joseph to a better place to have a baby than a stable. But God deliberately chose not to. God chose for his son to be born in a stable for a very important reason. Because God's plan was not to protect his son from the harsh realities of this world. No one could ever say that Jesus was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Or born on the TV show The Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous. No, Jesus grew up and was born in the most humble of circumstances. And God wanted his son to experience life beginning at rock bottom. Think about it for a moment. His first breath had to have animal urine in it. In the stable, there was no quiet nursery for the baby to be placed. No, there were grunts and groans from the noises of the animals. And think about it, the first baby outfit? Wasn't Mary going into Bethlehem on the way in and going to a cute little shop and picking out a baby outfit for Jesus? It was strips of cloth. And what are these strips of cloth used for? Well, this is Bethlehem. And they were used for the lambs. And when they were born, they would wrap their legs with these strips of cloth with oil on them to protect them so that they wouldn't get a spot or a blemish so they could be sacrificed in the temple. So in our world, it's like taking old grease rags and wrapping the child in. Why would the father do that to his son? What was the purpose? Let me ask you, if Jesus grew up in the lifestyles of the rich and famous, could he really relate to everyone? The extremely wealthy, you know, they don't live like you and I live. Let me just break it to you if you don't know. They don't eat what we eat. Their food doesn't come from the local Walmart. And they don't work like you and I work. And they don't suffer like you and I suffer. No, Jesus wasn't born that day in a castle in Herod's court. When our youngest child was going to be born, Ashlyn, we were without health insurance at the time. This is in the day when you had to use this book called a telephone book. No, you don't know about this, but we used to have this book called a telephone book in the house. And there were white pages and there were yellow pages. And if you remember, the white pages is where all the common folks lived. And the yellow pages had the phone numbers of all the businesses in town. So in order to find where we could go find a doctor for this child in this new area that we lived in, we got the yellow pages and we started going through them and we looked up OBGY doctors. And it was this ad that said, one doctor, one nurse, one price. And that was the doctor that delivered our child. I can relate to Jesus being born in a stable. And I think maybe you can too. We had to trust that God would take care of mama and the baby. Take a good look at the stable. The stable, my friends, was God's way of saying, I'm sending my son into the real world, and I'm taking all the safety rails off. Jesus was given no advantage. He was born in the humblest of beginnings. He was born into a real family with real issues. Before his first birthday, he and his family found themselves as poor refugees in a foreign country, trying to make a living. He worked a hard job growing up in construction as a carpenter. He suffered hardships just like we all do. His life was not wrapped in bubble wrap. It was hard, it was difficult, as any life is. He experienced rejection. He experienced ridicule. He experienced abandonment. And not just once, but many times. He even experienced the death of a loved one more than once. Physical pain, probably more than you and I will ever experience in our lifetime. Can you see how important the stable is? I've often thought that Mary probably thought she had failed God that night. Because I can see any mother going, this is not where I want to have this baby. God, I'm so sorry. I didn't plan to be in the stable. I mean, I really thought we'd have it at home and mama would be there, and there would be a midwife, and we'd have this experience. It would be normal. I didn't realize that the child would come, and we wound up in this stable. And yet, that's exactly what the Father planned. It's exactly what God wanted. The nativity symbolized the unsheltered life that Jesus would live. From the day Jesus arrived until the death on the cross, Jesus can identify with whatever pain you're going through. He understands. He's been there. One more thing. If you look at the center of the nativity, what's in the very center? Jesus. And what is Jesus in? A manger. A manger. Now, a manger is not a bassinet. It's not a crib. Matter of fact, the word manger, you probably know this, but just to make sure we all know it, is an old English word for a feeding trough. That's what animals eat out of. I can see if we were to go visit the nativity and the stable, and my little grandson Henry would go run up to go touch the feeding trough. I can see his mama going right behind him with a wipe, wiping his hands. Wonder if the Bible writers used the word feeding trough instead of manger, how that would change our thinking. Manger sounds, now, a manger sounds clean and dignified. A feeding trough really sounds kind of nasty to me. But yet, that's what God wanted. But just as the stable says, Jesus' life was not going to be guarded and protected from life's pain and suffering. So the manger, the feeding trough, says the same thing. But only Jesus could take what was ordinary and make it something extraordinary. You see, now when we think of the manger, we think of a beautiful piece of furniture that we literally were put on our front yard for the whole world to see that drives by on the biggest holiday of the year. Like, no wife has ever told her husband, John, go up in the attic and bring down the feeding trough so we can put it outside. No, it's, darling, you go up and get the manger and bring it down. Because the manger sounds, I don't know, English and dignified. Only Jesus can take something ordinary and make it extraordinary. Didn't he do that with the cross? Man, the cross is such a was a place of execution for criminals. And yet, Jesus has made the cross something wonderful. So wonderful that many of us have it around our necks. But it's the worst way a man could die. Can you imagine wearing an electric chair around your neck? No. But we do for the cross. Because it's precious. Because Jesus was there. Isn't that what Jesus does with us? It happened thousands upon thousands of people around the world. Ordinary people. Everyday people, run-of-the-mill people, that Jesus is coming into their life and taking what is ordinary and made it extraordinary. There's a time that I hope that you and I have fallen on our knees at the cross. But we realize that this child that came and was born in a stable, died on a cross, so that we could have our sins reconciled back to God. And at the cross, we're all welcome, loved, and accepted. Where we can come and say, Jesus, I need my sins forgiven, so that I can have a relationship with the Father. And when it takes place, we're immediately forgiven of all of our sins. We're immediately adopted into the family of God. We're immediately chosen by God. That's why we gather this morning, on Christmas morning, to praise the One who has taken what is ordinary and made it extraordinary. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. Inside of our ordinary lives lives this Jesus, because this Jesus has moved into our lives. A transformation is taking place where we as ordinary people giving way to the extraordinary. Just as the feeding trough was transformed into a manger, and a tool of execution became a cross. What was once ordinary was transformed because of who is inside of it. Because Jesus is inside of us, changing us and transforming us. We were once man or woman who lived to please people. Now we live to please God. We were once men or women who lived to please self. Now we live to give and to love. You see, Jesus does to humans what he did to a feeding trough. After Jesus entered the feeding trough, it was no longer a feeding trough. It is now a manger. And after Jesus enters a man or a woman, we're no longer ordinary, run-of-the-mill people. We're extraordinary. Why? Because we are the people of God. If our worship team will come, let me just ask you, what about you? Have you invited Jesus into your life so that your sins can be forgiven, so that you can have a relationship with him, so that you can be called a child of God, so that God can take what is ordinary and make it extraordinary?